All right, it's true. I lied to you. You have undoubtedly figured out that there is no alternate of outdated encyclopedias in this book. There is no harrowing situation where I lay, strapped to said altar, about to be sacrificed. There is no dagger-wielding librarian about to slice me open and spill my blood into the void to complete a dark ritual. No sharks, no pit of acidic magma. That's all in the sequel. You didn't really think I'd be able to tell my entire story in one book, did you? Grandpa Smedri's car puttered along the street. It was dark out. After escaping the library, we had evacuated the gas station, then spent the night and entire next day recovering in the team's safe house, a mock hamburger stand called Sandburgers. Grandfather? I asked as we drove.
Yes, lad?
What do we do now? Grandpa Smedri sat for a moment, turning the wheel in random directions. He looked far better after a night's rest. He had gained back enough strength to begin arriving late to his pain again, and now he was doling it out in very small amounts. He looked almost like his chipper old self.
Well, he finally said, there's a great deal to be done. The Free Kingdoms are losing their battle against the Librarians. Most of the outright fighting is happening in Mokia right now, though the work behind the scenes in other kingdoms is just as dangerous.
What will happen if Mokia does fall? I asked.
The Librarians will fold it into their empire, Grandpa Smedri said. It will take a decade or two before it's fully integrated. The Librarians will have to begin changing the history books across the entire world, making up a new history for the region.
I nodded. And my parents are part of this war?
Very big parts, Grandpa Smedri said. They're very important people.
So important, I asked quietly, that they couldn't be bothered to raise me? Grandpa Smedri shook his head.
No, lad, that's not it at all.
Then why? I asked, frustrated. What was this all about? Why leave me to the Librarians all these years?
It will make sense if you think about it, lad.
I don't really want to think about it at the moment, I snapped. Grandpa Smedri smiled.
Information, Alcatraz. It was all about information.
Perhaps you've noticed, but the rest of us don't quite fit into your world. I nodded.
You have information, lad, Grandpa Smedri said. Important information. You understand the lies the Librarians are teaching, and you understand their culture. That makes you important. Very important.
So, my parents gave me up so that they could make a spy out of me? I asked.
It was a very hard decision, my boy, Grandpa Smedri said quietly. And they did not make it lightly. But even when you were a baby, they knew you would rise to the challenge. You are a Smedri.
And there was no other way? I demanded.
I know it's hard to understand, lad. And truth be told, I often questioned their decision. But, well, how many people from other countries have you known who could speak your language perfectly?
Not many.
The more different a language is from your own, Grandpa Smedri said, the more difficult it is to sound like a native. For some languages, I'm convinced it's impossible. The difference between our world and yours isn't as much a matter of language as it is a matter of understanding. I can see that I don't quite fit in here, but I can't see why. It's been the same for all of our operatives. We needed someone on the inside, someone who understood the way Librarians think, the way they live.
So, I finally said, why aren't my parents here? Why did you have to come get me?
I can't really answer that, Alcatraz. You know, we lost track of your father some years ago, just after you were born. I kind of hoped I'd find him here, on your 13th birthday, come to deliver the sands himself. That obviously didn't happen.
You have no idea where he is, then? Grandpa Smedri shook his head.
He is a good man, and a good oculator. My instincts tell me that he's alive, though I have no real proof of that. He must be about something important, but for the life of me, I can't figure out what it is.
And my mother? I asked. Grandpa Smedri didn't reply immediately, so I turned to a slight tangent, something that had been bothering me for some time. When I wore the tracker's lenses back in the library,
I was able to see your footprints for a long, long time.
That's not surprising, Grandpa Smedri said.
And, I said, when you came into my house, you identified my room with the tracker's lenses because you saw so many footprints leading into it. But I'd only walked out of there once that day. So the other sets of footprints must have been hours or even days old.
True, Grandpa Smedri said.
So, I said, the tracker's lenses work differently for family.
Not differently, lad, Grandpa Smedri said. Family members are part of you, and so they're part of what you know best. Their tracks tend to hang around for a long time, no matter how little you think you know them.
I sat quietly in my seat. I saw Miss Fletcher's footprints hours after she'd made them, I finally said.
Not surprising.
I closed my eyes. Why did she and my father break up?
He fell in love with a librarian, lad, Grandpa Smedri said. Marrying her wasn't the wisest decision he ever made. They thought they could make it work.
And they were wrong?
Apparently, Grandpa Smedri said.
Your father saw something in her, something that I've never been able to see. She isn't exactly the most loyal of librarians, and your father thought that would make her more lenient to our side. But I think she's only interested in herself. She married your father for his talent, I'm convinced. Either way, I think that she was another reason that your father agreed to let you be raised in librarian lands. That way, your mother could see you. He still loved her, I'm afraid. Probably still does, poor fool.
I closed my eyes. She sold the Sands of Rashid to Blackburn. My father's life's work. My inheritance. And Blackburn implied that she would sell me too. I didn't know how to think about what I felt. For some reason, all the danger, all the threats I'd been through during the last few days hadn't felt as disturbing to me as the knowledge that my mother lived. And that she was on the wrong side. I opened my eyes, looking out the window with a frown. I recognized the street we were on. Joan and Roy Sheldon, my latest foster family, the one whose kitchen I had burned, lived just a few houses down.
Why are we here? I asked. You remember when I first gave you your oculator's lenses, lad?
Sure.
I asked you a question then, Grandpa Smedri said. I asked why you had burned down your family's kitchen. You didn't answer.
I thought about it, though, I said. I'm figuring things out. I'm getting better with my talent.
Alcatraz, lad, Grandpa Smedri said, laying a hand on my shoulder. That question wasn't just about your talent. You keep asking about your parents, keep wondering why they were so willing to abandon you. Well, did you ever think to wonder why you abandoned so many families?
I have thought about it, I said. Or at least, I have recently. And perhaps I was a little hard on them. But it wasn't only my fault. They couldn't handle it when I broke things.
Maybe some of them, Grandpa Smedri said. But how many of them did you really give a chance?
I knew he was right, of course. And yet, knowing something is very different from feeling it. And at that moment, I was feeling all the same emotions I felt every time parents gave me away. I felt a twist in my gut. It was happening again, and this time it wasn't my fault. I tried. I tried not to push Grandpa Smedri away. And now it was happening anyway.
You're trying to get rid of me, I whispered.
Grandpa Smedri shook his head.
Information, lad! It's all about information! You thought those families were going to give you up, so you acted first. You made them get rid of you, but you had bad information. I am not trying to abandon you. We have a lot of work to do, you and I. However, you need to go back and spend some time with those who have loved you. You need to make your peace with them if you're ever going to understand yourself well enough to help us win this war.
Blackburn didn't think information was all that important, I snapped.
And how'd he end up? Grandpa Smedri said, smiling.
But he beat you, I said. In the oculator's duel, he was stronger.
Yes, he was,
Grandpa Smedri said. He worked very hard to be able to beat a person like me in a contest like that. He put out his eye so that he would be stronger with offensive lenses, and he collected other lenses that would let him fight effectively. But in doing so, he gave up the ability to see as well. Alcatraz, everything we do is about seeing. If he'd seen just a little better, he would have noticed your trick. If he'd seen a little better, he'd have realized that by putting out his eye and focusing on the powers that let him win battles, he handicapped himself in larger, far more important ways. Perhaps if he'd seen a little more, he'd have realized that those translator's lenses you have are far more powerful than any Firebringer's lens. I sat back, trying to sort out my thoughts and my emotions. It was hard to focus on any one feeling. Regret, anxiety, anger, confusion. I still couldn't believe that Grandpa wanted me to stay with Joan and Roy. I glanced at the house. Hey, there's no hole in the side of it. The librarians would have fixed that before your foster parents got home, Grandpa Smedri said. They try to keep things quiet. Work on the underground. Something like that hole would have attracted too much attention to this house, and therefore, to you. Won't it be dangerous for me to be here? I asked. Probably, Grandpa Smedri said, but it will be dangerous for you everywhere, and we have some means of keeping you safe here, for a little while at least. I nodded slowly. They'll be happy to see you, lad, Grandpa Smedri said. I don't know about that, I said. I burned down their kitchen. Try them. Can't control it, Grandfather, I said quietly. My talent. I thought I was getting the hang of it, but I still break things all the time. Things I don't want to. Grandpa Smedri smiled. Perhaps, but when it counted, you broke that Firebringer's lens in exactly the right way. You didn't just shatter it or make it stop working. You made it work wrong, but made it work right for you. That shows real promise, lad. I looked over at the Sheldon's house again. You'll come for me, won't you? Of course I will, lad. I took a deep breath. All right, then. Do you want to take the translator's lenses with you? They're your inheritance, lad. It wouldn't be right. You keep them. I nodded. Grandpa Smedri smiled, then reached over to give me a hug. I held on tight, tighter than I'd probably intended. Grandfather, cousins, perhaps even my father, I thought. I have family. Finally, I let go, then got out of the car. I looked up at the house again. I've always had family, I thought. Not always the Sheldons, but someone. People willing to give me a home. I guess it's about time I admitted that. I closed the door, then looked in through the window. Don't break anything, Grandpa Smedri said. Just come for me, I said. Don't be late. Me? Grandpa Smedri asked. Late? Then he rapped on the dash of the car, and it began to hum. I watched it pull away, watched it until it was gone. Then I walked up the street to the house. I paused on the doorstep. I could still faintly smell smoke. I knocked on the door. Roy opened it. He stood, stupefied for a moment. Then he yelled in surprise, grabbing me in a hug. Joan! He cried. She rushed around the corner. Alcatraz? Roy handed me over to her. She grabbed me in a tight embrace. When the caseworker called, Roy said, asking where you'd gone, well, we assumed you'd run off for good, kiddo. You didn't get into trouble, did you? Joan asked, looking at me sternly. I shrugged. I don't know. I knocked down 2 floors, 1 wall, and a few doors, I think. Nothing too bad. Joan and Roy shared a look, then smiled and took me in. Hours later, after giving them some reasonable lies about where I'd been, after having a good meal, and after accepting their pleas that I stay with them for at least a little while longer, I walked up to my room. I sat down on my bed, trying to think through the things that had happened to me. Oddly,
I didn't find the librarians, the Alivant, or the lenses to be the most strange of the recent events. The strangest things to me were the changes I saw in myself. I cared. And it had all happened because of a simple package in the mail. My head snapped up. There, sitting on my desk, was the empty box, beside its brown wrapper. I stood and walked across the room. I flattened out the packaging, noting the stamp I'd investigated, the address written in faded ink, and the scribbles up the side of the paper. The ones I'd assumed had come from someone trying to get the ink in his pen to flow. With trembling hands, I reached into my pocket and pulled out the translator's lenses. The lenses of Rashid. I slipped them on. The scribble immediately changed into legible words. "If you can read this, then you have managed to craft lenses of Rashid from the sands I sent you. I knew you'd be able to do it. I must tell you that I'm afraid. I fear that I've stumbled on something powerful, something more important and more dangerous than any of us expected. The lenses of Rashid were only the beginning. The forgotten language leads to clues, stories, legends about the Smedri talents and... well, I can't say more here. By the time you get this package, much time will have passed. 13 years. Perhaps I'll have solved the problem by then, but I suspect not. The lenses that let me see where you will be living at age 13 have also given me a warning that my task will not be done by then. But I can only see vaguely into the future. The Oracle's lenses are far from perfect. What I see makes me even more worried. Once I have confirmation that this box reached you without being intercepted, I will send you further information. I have the other set of Rashid lenses. With them, I can write in the forgotten language, and only you will be able to read my messages. For now, simply know that I'm proud of you, and that I love you. Your father, Atticus Smedri." I put the paper down, stunned. It was at that moment that I heard a rapping on my window. Instead of a raven outside, however, I saw the mustached face of Grandpa Smedri. I frowned, walking over and opening the window. Grandpa Smedri stood on a ladder that appeared to have extended from the back of his little black automobile. "Grandpa?" I asked. "What are you doing here?" "What?" he asked. "I came for you as promised." "As promised?" I asked. "But you only left me a few hours ago."
"Yes, yes," Grandpa Smedri said. "I know. I'm late."
"Come on, lad. We've got work to do. Are you packed yet?"
Grandpa Smedri began to climb back down the ladder.
"Wait,"
I said, sticking my head out the window. "Packed? I thought I was staying here, with Joan and Roy."
"What?"
Grandpa Smedri said, looking back up.
"Edible headings, boy! This city is crawling with librarians! It was dangerous enough to give you a chance to come back and say goodbye!"
"But you said I had to spend some time with them."
"A few hours, lad," Grandpa Smedri said, "to apologize for the trouble you'd given them. What did you expect? That I'd leave you here all summer in the exact place where your enemies know where to look? With people that aren't even your family? In a place you don't really like and that is depressingly normal compared to the world you've grown to love? Doesn't that sound a little stupid and contrived to you?"
I raised a relieved hand to my head. "Yeah," I noted. "Now that you mention it, who would do something silly like that? Let me go get my things and write a note to Joan and Roy."
"Oh, and you have to see what's written on this package."
I rushed back into the room, pulling out a gym bag to begin packing. Outside, I heard Grandpa Smedri's car hum quietly to life. I smiled. Everything felt right. Weird, true, but right. It was about time.